Now at Menards, save big on everything for your landscaping project. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Plus, get fast free estimates when you use our landscape design program available in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. Also, check out the great deals from our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
Oh, Lori Vallow Daybell and the Keith Morrison Dateline interview. Yeah.
It was a lot, wasn't it?
Yeah. I kind of hesitate to even say that. Yeah, it was a lot, but I wanted more. I wanted more raw Lori. They produced the shit out of that thing, and it really felt like one giant promo talking about Lori Vallow, where it's like, I just want the one-on-one. I want to see, I don't need it, just like the little clips. Part of Lori's insanity is the nuances. It's all of the things that you don't expect, not just the weird things she says out loud. You want her raw reactions, but they really, really produce the hell out of that thing. Too much, in my opinion. What was your thoughts?
I was exhausted. Just like, because I think Keith, he did some interviews with, I think it was a Salt Lake City TV station, Nate Eaton. Interviewed him. And he talked about how he was exhausted after the interview. And that's how I felt watching it. To me, it felt like it drained me on a human level. Like, we've been around people like that, especially in the radio industry. I don't know if anybody else who maybe has been in radio who listens can go, yep, I have too. Kind of that very, I guess, neurotic, you know, rapid talking, doesn't stop talking, won't stop talking, and just in your face, and you're like, what is going on with you? That's how I felt afterwards, and I just felt like I needed her to stop talking.
I wish I would have heard more of her talking, honestly. It was just so, the way they edited it and the way they showed it, it looks like she replied to everything Keith asked with a question.
Yes.
I don't know, Keith, what do you think about that? Is that what they're telling you? Like, he's like, well, that's what it is right here. See, it's on video. Is that what you saw, Keith? Did you see it with your own eyes, Keith? I thought we'd be friends, Keith. Like, what is this? I would have rather have just watched a full hour of that, of what, how this went down in its raw form. Like the R. Kelly interview with Gayle King. I just want the raw. I don't care. I didn't need the whole story rehashed. I didn't need to see old clips of old interviews. I didn't need to see Melanie again. You know, I honestly was a bit disappointed. I really was. I was hoping for more of the raw one-on-one with Lori. Let's get a preview of what this is going to be like when she's at her trial, which I do think we have a pretty damn good idea of what this is going to look like, but I don't know. I was a little disappointed in the presentation of it, if you will.
I feel like the judge is going to be intervening a lot.
Yeah.
Like striking her down. Like, that's not how, this isn't, you know, a reality show. This isn't a chance for you to get out there on your soapbox. This is where we present evidence, and it's a very straightforward situation. I think this is going to get shut down in probably an hour. They're probably going to be like, okay, this is not working.
I think she's going to, yeah, I think she's going to violate so many just rules of the court. And I, like, look, when you're representing yourself, they do have a bit more patience, than if it were just trained attorneys, but you can only have so much patience.
Well, now she's going to push the limits. That's what I'm talking about. She is going to push it so hard that the judge is probably just going to like push the chair back and go, okay, I'm out. We can't do this anymore.
I don't know. I mean, they obviously know what they're getting. I can't imagine that they're not thinking the same thing, but I don't know if they're just going to be, okay, let her go. Let her do her thing. We're not going to object to a ton of stuff. Just let her do her thing. And then, okay, jury, what's your thoughts? You know? She's going to hang herself pretty quick. And that's, I still say if we get there, because I don't know what the hell the bar is. And I know that they do not have an insanity defense there, but what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Why are we putting her on? Everybody knows she's responsible for what she's responsible for. She's never going to be the person in court at the end of the day going, oh my gosh, you got me. I am so sorry for what I've done. You're never going to get the remorse. So any of the family members that are sitting there, like, you're going to get more frustrated if you're a family member of Charles sitting in that courtroom. I don't see that being a positive. I don't see that being any sort of closure. I think I would just get more angry. I don't know. It's hard to speak because I'm not that person. I'm not in that family to know what I would think if I was there. But I would almost say, if I were giving a recommendation to somebody, move on with your life. Don't let this witch take any more energy from you, because she clearly already has. And if you don't have to report on it like we do, and you have nothing else, you just go live your life. Pretend she's dead. And don't let this person steal from you. Because it's what you can tell. She feeds off of this. She feeds off of screwing with people and taking that from people. And it's her, you know, it's like her lifeblood. It's real sick. So the less of that she has, the less people that show that they give a shit about her, I think the better, quite honestly. If the whole family's just like, whatever, don't care, like, just go die. Maybe she would. I think that the ultimate stick it to Lori is have no one show any care for her whatsoever. That's like in her circle.
I think that's an interesting take. I wonder, you know, are we going to see any violence in the courtroom? Are family members going to get so fed up that they're, no, you think they're just going to?
No, okay. No, I don't see that at all. I think everybody's done.
They're exhausted too.
Yeah. I don't even, like, if you're working, I don't know that I would even take time off to go. And it's a spectacle, that's for sure. But I could see her maybe acting out a bit. I don't know how violent she would get, but I could see her, like, she seems like a thrower, like someone who would throw shit.
So keep the staplers away from her and the hole punches.
Yeah, keep anything that has any sort of weight to it nowhere near her. But then she's going to have to like do it with the purple handcuffs on, like chucking shit or something.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because in the Dateline interview, for those of you who haven't seen it, they take her, the ankle irons off.
Yeah.
But they leave her handcuffed.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I don't, you know, is that symbolic or is that for utility purposes, that we don't want her having access to her hands to be able to use, you know, because we don't trust her?
It's a good question. I was wondering if that was, you know, just policy of like, maybe it's nothing to do with her. It's just, this is what we do. If we're going to allow you to do this, this is it, period.
But there's plenty of security there.
Yeah.
But I mean, guess she could have had contraband, you know, and you know, gone after Keith.
Well, there's so much shit right there. When you're doing a shoot, like, you know, when on camera, all you see is like this. Around me are tons of lights and all sorts of equipment and shit. And it wouldn't be hard if you're pissed off or you're nuts to grab a light here, you know.
And use the stand as a weapon.
And use it and pull it in, and just, you can knock everything over really quick and do a lot of damage to expensive equipment. So, I mean, I could see that because you are just, you get into like a little cove of a chair and the camera's on you, but everything is just shit all in front of you. There's stuff.
Yeah.
So I could see that being a concern that she was going to try and, you know, stab Keith with a light stand or something.
Well, and it probably was, like you said, probably policy and procedure to, you know, she's a prisoner. She yeah. needs to be imprisoned, you know? Mm-hmm. So just because she's having an interview and in a room doesn't mean she can have free reign, because yeah. she could have done some damage probably in 5 seconds if yeah. she wanted to. So I'm surprised they let her, you know, undo her legs, really.
Mm-hmm. I will say this. If you started watching and you're like, the end. And I knew you said you turned it off before that.
Well, I fell asleep. You and I were chatting late, I fell asleep. I was trying to get through it and I just dozed off and I never went back to it because I had a busy weekend. But so I missed like the last 20 minutes is what I think I missed. And you said that's like the best.
That's the best part. That really is. That's where there is more of the sit down. They like that last segment, they pretty much keep the camera there and they're going back and forth. It you don't really get anything new out of Lori, other than just more delusion, and yeah, she thinks that she's gonna still be a goddess in Rexburg at the end of the day. She still loves Chad. It's her husband. She's very clear about that. She doesn't want to be known as Lori Vallow. We knew that from court the other week. She's still 1,000% in. And a lot of people still think she's putting on an act. I don't think you can. I don't think anybody can put on an act like this. This is pure, unbridled insanity. This is someone who just has completely lost their fucking mind. And there ain't no coming back. I don't see this as an act. I know like Coffin Daffer still thinks that she's putting on an act. I just don't see it. I don't. There's some people who do. I don't know that she's one of them.
Well, I think she's so delusional that this is her playground. This is where she resides in her head. Mm-hmm. This is her life. And yeah. I don't think it's a put on. I think she truly believes everything she says. I didn't really have that realization until I watched the Dateline special.
Mm-hmm.
But this woman is truly convinced of this afterlife and that she's basically living it now. I mean, Jesus comes and talks to her on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't even have to go to church for that.
No, he just comes and has conversations. And he's real funny, too. And he's real.
I'm feeling a little bit disillusioned because I didn't know that he was like a comedian. I probably would have. Yeah, I mean, and I'm a religion major. I didn't pick up on any of that from the Bible, but maybe I need to go back and read it again.
I mean, he seems like a very generous, giving person, but I didn't get comedian out of it. But
I didn't either. I mean, I understand he is a very giving person and you know, supports the poor and things like mm-hmm. that, but I didn't realize that he had a funny bone to him.
Yeah, well, he appeared at the Jerusalem Funny Bone Comedy Club quite a bit. They just omitted. That part is actually, it's in the Bible, but it's in those books that the Catholic Church keeps in, caves. It's next to those other books. It's like, oh my gosh, the comedy of Jesus. And it's like, it's hard to relate to because it's all very, you know, turn of the century, but you know, way, way back century, turn of time. So it's a lot of issues. It's hard to quite get, but you know,
his next tour is going to rival Seinfeld and be called My Book of Revelation.
Exactly. Exactly. And Lori's going to be the opener.
Yeah. There you go.
Here's a clip from Dateline just the other night. Let's see.
Are you keeping track, Keith? Can we agree on that, Keith? Can I joke with you, Keith? Can we joke? Good one, Keith. You've heard a lot of stuff, Keith, and I'm here to say you've heard a lot of stuff, but what I tell you will be the truth. I thought we were gonna be friends, Keith. I thought we were gonna be friends. Get your facts straight, Keith. Aren't appearances not what they might seem to be, Keith? Could you get your life story out in 90 minutes, Keith? How old are you, Keith? Keith, we can talk all day. I can talk all day. I don't have anything to do. You can extend your time. Come back. Come see me.
That's basically what the interview was.
I mean, see, that exhausted the living shit out of me. Just stop. If you had a friend like that, the first thing I would say is, honey, how much coffee have you had today? I'm concerned about you.
I didn't know that coffee does that to you. I'd be like, let me see your teeth. Is that meth that you're doing over there?
All right.
Because, yeah. But if you saw that, you saw the interview. I mean, because it just, there's clips, clip, clip, clip. And the clips of her in the interview are like 30 seconds a piece. And then it goes over to the other pieces of the interview. Again, it's a lot of rehashing of the story. And if you don't know the story and you're watching it for the first time, they put together a really good piece. If you've seen everything on it already, it's the same shit with Lori interjecting that.
Yeah, she puts in her own commentary and kind of going after him. Seriously, he probably walked out of there and went, "We're going to a bar. I'm going to need a drink." I don't know if he drinks, but after that interview, he probably needed something. I would need something. Just watching her, it just felt so tiring. Like, wow, I can't deal with you.
I think I would be taking a soak in holy water and drinking simultaneously.
Couple Hail Marys.
Want true crime coverage all day, every day? Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today and get the latest cases delivered right to your feed. He was charming, handsome, a devoted husband, a doting father. When his wife died tragically in a freak accident, everyone pitied him. He played the role so well, grieving widower, devastated, single dad, just trying to put the pieces back together. But the thing about perfect men, they're usually hiding something. And this one was hiding everything. The affair, the insurance policy, the other wife in another state who had no idea she was married to a walking crime scene. If she had only subscribed to True Crime Today, Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, she could have listened to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi ad-free. And before everyone else, she could have seen through the lies. She could have gotten out while she still had the chance. Instead, she's just another case we'll be covering next week. Don't be her. Subscribe now to True Crime Today, Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.